This morning I'm going to be reading John 4, and I'm going to be reading chapters 1 through 30 out loud, if you will stand for the reading of the word this morning. I know it's a little bit lengthy reading, but you know there's nothing like God's word, and so I didn't want to cut his word short this morning. So we're looking at John 4, and I'm actually going to start with verse 3. And he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me? For I am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered unto her and said, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me a drink, then thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence dost thou hast living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, that neither I have to come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, and call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, for I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou is now with is not thy husband, thou hast saidest truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped here in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought go and worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, for the hour come when thou shalt say, Neither on this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem you shall worship the Father. For you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman then said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he cometh, he will tell us things. And Jesus said unto her, I speak unto thee, am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot. Let me say that again. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said it unto the men, Come and see the man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. You know, this is a very well-known story about the woman of the well. In this story, we know that Jesus had recently left Judea and that he was traveling to Galilee. And what's interesting about this story is that the scripture tells us that it says Jesus must pass through Samaria. You see, that's a note that I can't pass over this morning or skip through. Because there was a purpose that Jesus passed through Samaria that day. There was a woman that was going to come to that well that needed a savior. There was a woman that come to that well that needed new life, that needed living water. And so the only way for Jesus' purpose to be fulfilled was for him to pass down a path that most travelers didn't pass down. Because the truth of the matter is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would not pass through the city of Samaria because the Samaritans were rejected. Because the Samaritans and the Jews despised one another. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees felt that they would be unholy and impure for themselves to pass through Samaria. And so they would take a long way around when they would travel from Judea to Galilee, and they would pass over Samaria to not pass through. But not Jesus. Because my Jesus will go down the paths of the hard places because he's got a mission and a purpose, and to touch those lives that may be in those dark paths, that may be in those hard places, so that he can reach them. Jesus goes down those paths that nobody else will take. And down that path, it says that Jesus became weary. We have to remember that Jesus is in the human form, and it was about noon that day. And it was hot. We can likely think that Jesus is sitting on the well, and he is thirsty, and he is sweating. And out walks this woman of Samaria. Now, what's interesting about this is the woman is coming out to the well at noon, the sixth hour of the day. You see, most other women would have come together in a group, either very first thing in the morning or very late in the evening, so that they would miss the heat of the day. But this woman, she traveled alone. Because what she carried with her was a lifestyle of embarrassment. What she carried with her was a lifestyle of rejection. What she carried with her was a lifestyle of shame. Because as we will find out, as she's had five husbands, and who she currently lives with is not her own husband. And the other women of the town likely don't think very highly of her. And so she's not welcome to join them in the early hours of the morning when the rest of them come out to the well. But this morning, she walks out to Jesus. And she sees a man there, and she doesn't know that this is Jesus. She's not like other women of the Bible that have heard of him and are chasing after him and are praying for him and are reaching out for his garments. This woman has never even heard of Jesus. All she's doing is her daily chores, her normal daily task. And she shows up at this well, and there is a man sitting there. And the man who is Jesus says to her, "Won't you draw water for me?" And I love the woman's response, because her response changes as this conversation with Jesus gets deeper and deeper. And I like to think in my own head, you know, I like to play this visually in my own head at this scene in the well where this woman says and scoffs at Jesus a little bit. "Me? You want me to get you a drink of water, a Jew? Are you not haltier than I? Are you not better than me? Is it okay for you, a Jew, to drink from this well?" That's, we have to also keep in mind that during this time, women were second-class citizens, right? So for a woman to be bold enough to turn and to talk to a man in that language, this was a bold woman, a fearless woman, right? And she says to Jesus, "You would have me draw you water." But Jesus humbly, and in all of his love and all of his grace, he said, "If you knew who I was that was sitting here, this gift of God, asking you to give me drink, you instead would ask of me for a drink, and I would give you living water." And man, this takes the woman back a little bit. She's caught off guard with his response. Jesus doesn't return a response in hatred. He doesn't return a response in haughtiness or saying, "Yes, you are a woman and a Samaritan. You should be drawing water for me," right? No, that's not how Jesus responds when we challenge him. Jesus responds when we challenge him humbly. Jesus responds when we challenge him with love. Jesus responds with answers that are going to prick our hearts and make us more curious, that we might continue to ask him questions. And so the woman says to him, "Sir." Now that's notable because that's the first change in her tone. She addresses Jesus as sir, a sign of respect, a sign of curiosity that she wants to continue on this conversation with Jesus Christ. And she says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." And I believe as she's doing this, she is drawing the water for Jesus and she is providing him a drink because she has now revered him as sir. And so she gives Jesus a drink here on the well. And she questions, "Are you greater than our father, Jacob?" And Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be as a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, I want to stop there for a moment and talk about this living water that Jesus Christ can offer us. Jesus Christ is the only one that can offer us this living water. You see, we all have a physical need each day to drink, right? Every single day we have a physical need that we have to have water in our lives to drink. Our throats get parched, our bodies will get dehydrated, and it's a relatively common thought that people can only last about 3 days without water in their lives. 3 days. The physical body can last without water. But Jesus says, "If you come unto me, I can give you a living water, and you will no longer thirst again." Now, Jesus is not talking about that physical thirst, but he is talking about our spiritual needs, our spiritual desires, those spiritual things that we have in our lives that need to be fulfilled, purposes, what we're seeking after. That's our spiritual life. And Jesus says he is that living water so that we will never be thirsty again. You know, a couple notable things about living water is living water is alive. For water to be alive, it means that it has to be moving and flowing. That means that there must be an inlet and that there must also be an outlet, and that the water will flow through, and it stays alive and living. You know, I think about the river. We're blessed here to be right alongside the Whitewater River, right? And when you're floating down that river has an inlet, and that river has an outlet. And when you're in that river is constantly moving. And every now and again, when you float down that river, right along the edges, sometimes the water can become stagnant, right? And that is where it is gross and nasty. That is where when you are tubing with a youth group, you do not want to get stuck, right? Because that's where all the mosquitoes are. That's where all the infestation is. That's where all the bugs are. That's where all the tree limbs are, where everything is building up. And it becomes stagnant and it becomes dead. But living water, water that continues to flow, is clean, it is pure, it is alive, it is fresh enough that you can drink it every single day because it's alive. Living water, we learn from verse 10, is of God. Living water is not of this world, it is not of man. But living water is of God. Because we serve a God that is alive today, yesterday, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And so only our God can provide an everlasting, alive water for all of eternity. And living water is a gift from God. It's a free gift. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. God's living water is a gift of God. I love the fact that where Jesus and the Samaria woman is having this conversation is at the well of Jacob. Okay, Jacob, the son of Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, is living here in the promised land. And it's substantial that this is Jacob's well because God provided this well to his people hundreds of years before, to his chosen people, Jacob, and his sons, who Jacob passed it down to his son Joseph. And this well that God provided hundreds of years before is still serving the Jews, the Israelites, the Samaritans, and that community. That community day after day is still that community day after day is coming to this well, and this well is still providing water for God's people. That speaks of being a free gift, the well that God provides for us. It's not just for one sole person, but it's for a community to come to every single day and to fill their buckets and to take back to their families. It's free. God provides it. It's a gift. How do we get it? We get it by asking for it. Jesus very clearly tells the woman that I have the gift of living water. It is of God and it is a free gift, but you would ask me for it. That's all we've got to do. We have the answer to spiritual life, to living water, to everlasting eternity, and all we have to do is ask for it. And Jesus will give it to us freely. And we know that when we ask for that living water, it is the only water that will quench your thirst and satisfy you so that you will never thirst again. You see, we do have that physical need for water, but so many of us are walking around trying to quench a need for our spiritual thirst in dead, stagnant pools. We're trying to quench our need for spiritual thirst in waters that are infested, and waters that are stuck, and waters that are dead and stagnant out in this world. We try to quench our spiritual thirst maybe through work success, through raising up that corporate ladder and that being the first part and priority of your life. Maybe you try to quench that spiritual thirst through alcohol, through drugs, through partying. Maybe you try quenching that spiritual thirst through having the best of everything, the best boat, the best house, the best clothes, the nicest this, the nicest that. You see, we all have a spiritual thirst where we're trying to understand our purpose, and we have a desire to have more and to have more because God implanted that in us on purpose so that we would seek him and so that one day we would come before his throne and ask him for that living water. But our thirst will never be quenched with anything of this world because it can only be quenched through his son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the center and the fountain. He is the inlet. He is the source of where that living water flows from. And when we come to him and we ask him to have that living water in our lives, it can flow in us and it will flow through us. He alone is our source. You know, in John 7 and 37, Jesus says, he stood and he cried that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. How many in the house are thirsty this morning? I can tell you I am thirsty this morning. I desire more of Christ in my life. And the great news is all I've got to do is ask him. And so Jesus tells her, the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. But it's a well of water that springs up to everlasting life. And the woman says, sir, give me this water, right? She gets it. She's like, okay, you got something that I want, right? I don't know that she totally comprehended everything that Jesus was trying to explain to her in this minute, but man, she knew enough that she was in the presence of somebody different, right? She knew that she was in the presence of not just some same old man at this well, but she was in the presence of something different, and he was talking about some water that she wanted, right? And she said, give me some of this water. And she still is thinking in her mind that it's physical water because she says, this way I don't have to come back to this well day after day in the heat of the sun, right? This way I don't have to come back. And Jesus says to her, go and call your husband. Go call your husband. He doesn't say, here's the water. He doesn't begin to preach to her or talk, you know, about some scripture of Isaiah. No. Jesus says to her, go and call your husband. Isn't it like Jesus that when he shows up, we begin to feel just a little bit convicted? Right? Isn't it like Jesus that when he shows up and he wants a little bit more of our lives, we got to remove a little bit of something that's in the way? And that can be uncomfortable, right? And man, this woman, she could have reared back and just left, right? She could have reared back and said, okay, I'll go get my husband, and went home and got her boyfriend and came back, right? But she didn't. The woman came back with a pricked heart, with an open heart, and said, I have no husband. Openly confessed, right? Right before Jesus. Right before Jesus. She openly says, yes, this is my sin. I have no husband. And Jesus acclaims her and says, woman, you have said well, because you have spoken truly. For you have not a husband, but you have had five husbands, and the one that you live with right now is not even your husband. There is no tone of condemnation from Jesus in that sentence. Not one bit. In fact, he applauds her and implores her because she honestly responded that when she felt the conviction of her sin in her heart, that she openly said, yes, I have no husband, and laid it at the feet of Jesus. You see, the only way that we can be filled with that living water is if we first remove the sin that is in our lives. The only way that we can be filled with that living water is if we come before Jesus and we say, yes, Jesus, I know that I am unworthy to have your living water flow in my life, but I desire it. And I know that if it does, it will purify me. I know that if it does, you will forgive me and it will flow out of my life. You see, Jesus pricked her heart and exposed her sin. She had been seeking spiritual satisfaction through lust, through going after man, husband after husband, continually unsatisfied, to now she's at a point where she's just shacking up because she's not ever received the satisfaction that she desired. But she can find that in this living water. She can find that spiritual satisfaction in this living water. You see, she had been discounted, wounded, broken, embarrassed, ashamed, rejected. But she first had to receive forgiveness and remove that old stagnant water so that she could accept that new water into her life. That living water, which is Jesus Christ himself, ready and waiting for her. You see, Jesus doesn't look at a dead, stagnant pool and decide that he's going to stir it up, right? No. Jesus looks at that old, dead, stagnant water, and he is going to dredge it out, and he is going to drain it, and he is going to get rid of all of the infestation, all of the bugs. He is going to get rid of all the sickness, all the disease in that dead, stagnant water. And then when it is pure and clean and ready, he is going to pour his living water right down into the center of it so that it can be used for his purpose and for his glory. You know, we could go, he could, if he desired, Jesus could go through that long process where he touches that stagnant water and he puts in a filtration system and he slowly begins to purify it. But if it's still stagnant, it's not going to last very long. It's going to take longer to purify something with a filtration system than to completely clean it out and put new in it. You know, I think about my pond. I have a pond at my house, and it desperately needs redone because it is stagnant, because it has now overgrown so that where the inlet of water used to flow in doesn't do that anymore. And the outflow that flows out doesn't do that anymore because it has grown up around those places. And my husband and I know that we could go and we could try to just break the inlet up and try to just break the outlet up, but the reality of it is we would like to have it dredged out so that everything that is unwanted in there is removed so that we can put pure, fresh, and clean water that we can use, that our family can enjoy, that will produce life. You see, Jesus is that living water. He's the gift to us. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. It is His Holy Spirit that lives in us. That is how His living water pours in and pours out. You see, God's Spirit dwells in our lives, and we are the well of that water. It is in us, and it needs a reservoir that is ready and willing to receive His Spirit. John 7 and 38 says, He that believeth on me, the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you see, when the woman was convicted, she recognized her need for God. And she had that great desire for that living water. And she began to ask Jesus, where should I seek God? That's all she's talking about when she begins to refer to the different places of worship. And she starts then asking Jesus about the Messiah, stating, I know that there is a Messiah to come who will tell us things, who shall be called Christ. And Jesus, looking at the face of this Samaritan woman, an adulteress, rejected, broken, doesn't even know who she's talking to, Jesus reveals himself to her and says, I am he. I am the Messiah that the scripture is talking about. I am your answer. I am the one that you need. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am your strength. I am your living water. I am your life. I am your rock. I am the great I am. To a Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus says, here I am. And I can imagine her heart burning inside of her. I can imagine her now realizing that she is in the presence of the King, somebody great. I can imagine her eyes watering with tears. To have just received this amazing answer, to know that she is in the presence of greatness. And what stuck out to me this week was she left her water pot. Man, do you guys get that this morning? She carried this water pot to the well in the heat of the day, so that she could get water out of this well to carry back to her home, to drink for the rest of the day, to cook with, to provide drink for anybody else that may need for the day, that physical drink. And she left the very purpose of why she came to the well in the first place, to go tell the good news to the people of the city. I mean, that speaks to me this morning. Because how often do we hear the good news and we just keep on doing our own business? But man, there's a lot of us that need to be dropping our water pots at the well, stopping in our tracks and going and sharing the good news with this world. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read this scripture and heard this story. The woman left her water pot. Not one time had I realized that before. She talked to Jesus. She challenged Jesus. She then believed in Jesus. She then received Jesus. And then she shared Jesus. She shared Jesus in such a hurry that she stopped exactly what she was doing, left her water pot out the well, and I believe she ran back into that city. She left her water pot at the well because she was so excited to tell everybody about the good news. And I believe that she left that water pot at the well because she wasn't satisfied with just one encounter. No, she was coming back, right? She was coming back for that water pot. I know that I'm not just satisfied with one encounter of Christ, but that I want to come back over and over and over again. She was no longer concerned about getting and satisfying her physical need. She left her water pot to share the good news, and she charged them, "Come and see, come and see." And if we read on in verses 39 through 42, it says that the men came out of the village right away. The men came out of the village to come see who she spoke about. And the scripture tells us that Jesus stayed there for 2 days. 2 days. Now, the truth of the matter is he could have just passed right through, got a drink, and continued on his way to Galilee. But the people of Samaria needed Jesus. They needed to know that they were loved. They needed to know that the God that they served, the same God that the Jews served that rejected them, still loved them. They needed to know that God had sent them a Savior, and his name was Messiah, and so much that he stood right at the very well of Jacob to interact with every single one of them. And the men came out of the city, and they dwelled in Jesus' presence. And it says that the men believed for two reasons. They believed first because of the woman's testimony. And then it says the men believed because they saw and heard for themselves. You see, it's the testimony, it's our testimony of what Jesus does in our lives that speaks to people and gets them in these doors. It's our testimony that we can begin to open that conversation of the good news of Jesus Christ. But man, it's when Jesus begins to work in their lives and in your lives that you really get him down deep. It's when Jesus begins to work in your own lives that that living water flows through. And you believe not just because of what they did for me, but you believe because what Jesus has done for you. And it's significant that he stayed 2 days because he didn't want to rush the crowds. I believe that they came out to the well and they went back into the city and they got more people and they came back out to the well and they went back into the city and they got more people and they came back into the well. Because once was not enough. But they wanted to come talk to Jesus over and over and over again. Because Jesus is the living water. He is the source. He is the inlet. He is the one that pours into our lives. He is the one that we must be connected to. John 15 and 5 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, we will bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Nothing. You see, for us to have the living water flowing through our lives, we must be connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the inlet, and to be living in moving waters, can I just say that there must also be an outlet? If everything is just coming in to my pond and there's no way for it to get back out and flow down to another area, another water source, then my pond's just going to overflow and go to waste, right? But living water means that Jesus Christ pours into us. It flows through us and out into this world. Living water means there must be an inlet, there must be an outlet. That's why she dropped her pot. Because she was so excited that she had to let that water flow out as quickly as she could possibly get it out by telling the good news to other people in this world. Isaiah 58 and 11 tells us that we shall be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible because it speaks about the sacrifice that God chooses. You see, God would prefer us to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to free the oppressed, to be a light into this world. And it is when we are love. It is when we are serving. It is when we are out into the world and doing those things that his living water can truly flow through us. And we shall be like a well-watered garden, and the spring of waters will not ever fail. You see, Christ is our inlet, and this world is our outlet. And the living water that flows through us is Christ Jesus himself. And if it's not flowing through you, it will become stagnant. If it's not flowing through you, it will become dead. It will become infested. It will become lifeless. So as I ask the worship team to go ahead and come forth this morning and I get ready to close, I just want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself today, how are you feeling? You know, there are a lot of hands raised about being thirsty this morning. There are a lot of hands raised about desiring more. So how are you feeling today? Are you connected to Christ in your daily life so that you're satisfied? You see, we do that. We connect to Christ every single day when we go to him in prayer. We connect to Christ every single day when we open his word and we read it and we study it and we digest it. And listen, we connect to Christ every single day when we worship him. You know, I didn't spend a lot of time on this portion this morning, but Jesus teaches the woman that the best way to be connected to him is to worship him. And we worship him and we drink that living water from true worship when we worship God in spirit and in truth. We're connected to Jesus when we worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, spiritual worship is when it comes from the deep depths of our soul. And we praise him because of who he is. It's spiritual worship when it comes from the core of our lives and our very being. And it's true worship when we are worshiping Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and not the other things of this world. Because sometimes we can get stuck in our prayers, and whether we realize it or not, our prayers sound the same over and over again, and what we're really doing is worshiping the thing that we're praying about instead of worshiping the Father. I've been there. But when we worship Jesus in true worship, in spirit and in truth, meaning that we're putting him above our prayers, our priorities, that's how we stay connected to Jesus Christ. Psalms 95 and 6 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." So are you living out the love of Christ of those that live around you? Are you being a witness? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you clothing the naked? Are you offering a sacrifice that pleases God? Or are you here this morning and you're in a season of drought? Maybe your spiritual life feels dry. Maybe you've been seeking purposes in so many other areas in stagnant waters. And your life is feeling lifeless and hopeless. And you really just want God to come in and to stir it up and to refresh it and to pour out his goodness. This morning is a chance for you to reconnect to that river of life, which is Jesus Christ. This morning, there's a chance for you that if you feel like you're connected, but you don't know what your outlet is, and you feel like you've got all this water building up, to ask Jesus what your outlet is. Where can you let his living water flow? It doesn't have to be complicated. Or maybe this morning you're like the woman at the well. And this is the first time that you've ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning you're feeling a little bit convicted and you're feeling a little bit exposed. But Jesus invites you this morning to come to his feet, to ask that forgiveness, and to drink from his living water. Because let me remind you this morning, all you've got to do is come to these altars and ask. And Jesus will do the rest. Revelations 22 and 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Won't you come this morning and pray at the altars and seek God's living water as we worship?